Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. I think I might be the only person from an institution north of Watford. So maybe I'm from another country as well. I should say that my title is a little bit on the provocative side. And I should say from the outset that the observation was from a man called Philip Hendy, and he was talking specifically about the first floor of the south wing of Temple Newsom House. For those of you who don't know Temple Newsom, it's an Elizabethan Jacobean house that sits on a rise to the east of the city. In 1337, these lands had passed to the Darcy family, but it wasn't until 1500 to 1520 that Thomas Darcy built a home here. It passed in and out of different ownerships, propelled by religious conviction, until it reached a more settled period after it was sold to Arthur Ingram in 1622, who was a successful financier and courtier. The rooms along the south wing, which you can see in this slide in particular, I think this is the painting from when Hendy became director in 37, around that period, came into existence as a result of alterations during the half century from the 1740s to the 1760s, which were designed to modernise Temple Newsom and make it more appropriate to contemporary life and promote properly the prospect to the south of capabilities designed to landscape park. Until then, the south wing had remained virtually unchanged from when it was built by Darcy in 1520. William Johnson, a pupil of Thomas Wyatt, set about dividing the space, a state bedroom in the centre, dressing rooms either side, and a connecting passage overlooking the courtyard. So from east to west, these first four rooms are now known as the Prince's Room, after the Prince's World's visit in 1894. You can see that over on the right-hand side. And followed by a lobby and a service stair, then the south bedroom and the dressing room, the state bedroom with a bay window, as I pointed out, and a dressing room, and a French bedroom, otherwise known as Lady William Gordon's room, and the darling room at the west end. And I go through this because it was along these rooms that we threaded Grace and Perry's Vanity and Small Differences. This is the room called the state bedroom. Two rooms beyond the state bedroom. It was the room called, I can't remember. Sorry, and I can't see very well. I should have gone to Specsavers. It doesn't really matter what it's called anyway. And I wanted to say, for the purpose of this talk, I'm not going to say a great deal about Grace and Perry. I'm going to assume a certain familiarity with the tapestries. But I just want to say, because it's pertinent, that in this series of tapestries that was produced through alongside a Channel 4 documentary series, which you may have seen, called All in the Best Possible Taste, Grace and Perry visited three very different regions in the UK, in Britain, and exploring the taste in each of those regions of different social groups he encountered. At Temple Newsom, the exhibition was woven into the permanent collection displays, in effect offering a commentary on the changing patterns of style and taste over several centuries of these rooms that had changed in that time. Just one tapestry in each room. As far as I know, it's the first time these tapestries by Grace and Perry have been presented in this way, removed from the white box of gallery space, where invariably they appear grouped together in series. As the visitor made their way around, their own journey to encounter Tim Rakewell, who's a character in these slides, I should have been looking at the slide rather than my notes. As I was saying, the tapestries look at English ideas of English class through the story of the life of Tim Rakewell, and His Progress Through Modern British Society. Interestingly, I thought I'd use this slide in particular because not only did Grayson Perry draw on those conversations he'd had with people in the UK, but also often on Renaissance religious iconography, and importantly, most importantly probably, Hogarth's Rake's Progress, but also here, Thomas Gainsborough. Visitors to the exhibition were given a guide with a commentary by Grayson Perry, and I shall read briefly from this one. This is after Rakewell's irresistible rise through his success in the IT industry. Tim Rakewell and his wife are now in their late 40s, and their children are grown. They stroll like Mr. and Mrs. Andrews in Thomas Gainsborough's famous portrait of the landed gentry in the grounds of their mansion in the Cotswolds. They are new money. They can never become upper class in their lifetime. In the light of the sunset, they watch the old aristocratic stag with its tattered tweed hide being hunted down by the dogs of tax, social change, upkeep and fuel bills. I've already spoken about this slide, so I won't repeat myself as time is of the essence. But so anyway, by saying that these tapestries dealt with the sort of layers of taste embedded in these rooms, it's wrong to assume that they were always like this. When Hendy inherited the stewardship of Temple Newsom, they were they had quite a different identity at that time. It could be argued that Philip Hendy actually was probably the most significant director of the City Art Gallery in Leeds. He was appointed to the post in 1934. He'd worked at the Wallace Collection in London and the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. And for 8 years, from 1937 until he left Leeds in 1945 for a prestigious job in London, when he became director of the National Gallery, he was also responsible for Temple Newsom, the great house bought with its landscape park from the Honourable Edward Wood. After the transfer of the house to Leeds Corporation in 1922, and it was probable that they were as much interested in the land around it as the house itself, there was a 7-day sale which virtually emptied its interiors of their contents. A guidebook, published 5 years later, spoke only of spectacular Victorian wallpapers, a smattering of portraits, a bedstead, a wardrobe, and a number of Arundel prints. So little wonder Philip Hendy, after he'd taken on Temple Newsom, felt that these rooms have never contained anything of serious historical or artistic interest. Reporting on the opening of his groundbreaking exhibition in 1938, called Pictures and Furniture from Yorkshire Houses, Hendy noted, "I've had to give most of my time to Temple Newsom during the month. But I think that the interests of the mansion and the gallery, if not identical, are quite complementary. Together they cover a large field of interests, and the stimulation of that enlargement reacts beneficially upon each of them." But the Munich crisis later that year turned his mind to preparations for possible war, and in particular the use of house for storage, but also the display works from the art gallery. By May 1939, Hendy had identified 4 of the bedrooms along the south wing as ideal for display. By March 1940, he'd adapted 3 of them as galleries for modern paintings, while also redecorating the Great Hall and the Picture Gallery to the north on the north wing. By the end of June 1941, he had redecorated several rooms along the South Passage, including two rooms in readiness for this exhibition you can see here, a work by Graham Sutherland, John Piper and Henry Moore. Reporting on his temporary exhibitions of modern art at Temple Newsham in March 1941, Hendy noted that the exhibitions could not have been held if it had not been possible to continue to some extent the work of restoring the interior of the